The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our lives today, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I was told of a story about an Easter sermon given by an intern at a church. It wasn't me, but could have been. It was Easter Sunday, and the intern stood up and said, "Jesus Christ is risen." And he sat back down. So later on, his supervisor had a little bit of discussion with him. I actually wish that my sermon was that quick today. Jesus' sermon, his first sermon, is actually only 9 words. However, we all need a little bit of help interpreting the scripture and looking at the cultural contextual, historical, and social facts around the scripture for the Holy Spirit given to us in baptism to work in our hearts, to believe and to have hope and faith in Christ's grace. So may the Spirit be with us all today, and may we be open to the Spirit. During the season of Epiphany over the next 5 weeks, our lectionary is semi-continuous in Luke. We heard about Jesus being baptized and praying and having the Holy Spirit descend upon him in bodily form as a dove. The author of Luke then tells us that Jesus' ministry began at age 30, having skipped over his childhood stories, with the exception of him staying in the temple at age 12 and horrifying his parents, not knowing where he was for 3 days, to teach and learn after he felt called by God the Father to do so. At that time, he was about 1 year shy of being considered an adult. Those with teenagers or those who have been teenagers might appreciate that story. The lectionary skips over Jesus being led by the Spirit in the wilderness immediately after his baptism. We'll hear this story during Lent, where Jesus, having fasted for 40 days, resisted the devil after being tempted. Yet the Spirit helped him refuse to use his power for personal or worldly gain and from protecting himself from taking up the cross to reconcile the world back to God. So after resisting the devil in the wilderness and the devil departing from him until an opportune time, Jesus was filled with the power of the Spirit and returned to Galilee to begin his public ministry. The news spread fast about him in the surrounding country, and he began to teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. At the beginning of his ministry, he was in the Gentile area, known for its rebels and thieves, the outcast from the temple. He was welcomed and taught in the synagogues, which some scholars believe was more frequented during the diaspora, where the temple was too far to attend. Jesus' ministry included teaching the disciples and those who by the will of the Spirit had ears to hear and eyes and hearts to be opened by God's grace manifest in him. He He arrives as an adult back to his hometown of Nazareth, where he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was custom, and he read the scroll of Isaiah. Some scholars say that this particular Sabbath day was the Sabbath of all Sabbaths, also known as Yom Kippur, the holiest of holy days, or the Day of Atonement following the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. It marks the culmination of the 10 days of awe, a period of introspection or self-reflection and repentance that follows Rosh Hashanah. According to the Jewish tradition, God judges all creatures during the 10 days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, deciding whether or not they will live or die in the coming year. Jewish law teaches that God inscribes the names of the righteous in the Book of Life and condemns the wicked to death on Rosh Hashanah. People who fall between the two categories have until Yom Kippur to perform teshuvah, or repentance. The observant Jews consider the days leading up to in Yom Kippur as a time for prayer, good deeds, and reflecting on past mistakes, and making amends with others. There is a feast and 25-hour fast before and during Yom Kippur, followed by a feast. Our Christian tradition of introspection, repentance, service, charity, and making amends begins with the feast of Fastnacht, the night before Ash Wednesday, where we remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return, as we are marked with the sign of the cross with ashes, and then begin our 40-day period of reflection, repentance, prayer, fasting, and charity, while the Spirit leads us through the wilderness, culminating in Holy Week. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil for some Christian churches, and Easter, or the resurrection of our Lord. The good news in today's gospel reading in Luke is heard in Jesus reading Isaiah 61, verses 18 to 19 in Luke, and in his nine-word first sermon recorded in Luke. Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The book of Isaiah speaks of God's grace on this decision. The poor, the crushed, the outcast, and the overwhelmed will be in that book of heaven. A song of gracious acceptance is sang during the High Holy Days as people go about the task of making amends face to face with people they have wronged by asking forgiveness. Those who have been hurt have the freedom to forgive, and those who have been hurt grievously have the ability to hold back on that forgiveness. Jesus echoes that power in the Gospels by speaking of binding and loosing. The year of the Lord's favor is referencing the Jubilee year, and Jesus rolled up the scroll and sat down, as was customary. All eyes were fixed on him. He had read, and now it was time for him to preach. His first sermon, nine words, short enough to be a Twitter feed. Nine words to send good news out into the universe, saying, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He preaches that he is the fulfillment of historic hopes for the social transformation and physical healing the Messiah will bring. Presbyterian minister and blogger for the Christian Century blog, Melissa Bain Sevier, comments on this text. Did he say today? Really? Because how much misery was right in his line of vision? How many people were sick, hungry, unemployed? His reference appears to be about the year of Jubilee, proclaimed in the Law of Moses. Every 50th year, there was to be a year of the Lord's favor. During the Jubilee, land was to be returned to its original owners or their heirs. So in a sense, land would be available for 49-year lease, not out-and-out purchase. And indentured servants, those who were enslaved to pay off debts, were to be released from their enslavement. It was designed to be an economic equalizer. It was wealth sharing. It's unclear that Jubilee was ever truly observed. It was certainly a religious celebration which began with the sounding of the shofar, the ram's horn, and feasting. But the land returning, indentured people receiving their freedom, it likely never happened, at least not on a broad scale. But was it enough that economic injustice was ideal? Maybe it wasn't enough, but it had to have been helpful. Rabbis could make appeals that servants should be released, that they and their children ought to be allowed to have freedom and to start over. They could encourage people not to just buy up and accumulate land, but to have a fairer distribution. Maybe that wasn't the fullness of what was intended in the law, but it was something. To consider Jubilee means to remember that things are not fair, and that we can and should do something to create more fairness, more justice. This is a value that spans the millennia. And even though we remember that Jubilee never fully reasserts the complete fairness and equality God desires, we look for places where justice is lacking and places where efforts are underway to create more equity. When we see those efforts, we celebrate them. When we are able, we emulate them. Our Christian traditions are founded on our history as baptized and spirit-led followers of our Lord and Savior, who was born a Jew, who became flesh to dwell among us, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it for the salvation of the whole world, thereby expanding God's reign of justice and peace on earth through his healing and transforming grace to the Jewish community and all those outside the Jewish community. In our corporate confession, we admit we do not always do what God desires, that we seek our own ways and fail to consider how our privilege blinds us to see how other people suffer from the inequity in this world. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. took up his cross to remind us of what it was like for Black people to be oppressed by our blindness to God's call for equity and justice for all people. He warned that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. If we reflect on our lives and the world around us and peel back the onion, looking at the layers, we too can learn about multiple layers of injustice going on today. The adult forum, Go Holy Spirit, will tell us of the wonderful ministries of Bridge of Peace, with whom we partner with other churches that support the poor, that feed those that are hungry, that lift up the oppressed, and that heal the crushed. We welcome you to attend the adult forum today. We thank you for your generous contribution. We give thanks to God that we have abundance to share. Baptized into Christ Jesus, we can repent from our sin and trust in God's grace, remembering the waters of baptism have washed us clean of our sin, and we are continuously being made new as freed followers of Christ to once again seek God's help in bringing about equity and justice for our neighbor here on earth. As we come forward for Holy Communion to receive the bread and the wine, we can trust by the power of the Holy Spirit that Christ is present in it. Christ is for us, and that through him we are redeemed, restored, and renewed. And because of our baptism, we too are in the book of heaven, promised eternal life, not because of what we do, but what Christ has come to earth to do for us, so that we may go out into the world with God's grace, renewed to try to love our neighbor once again as ourselves. To God we give thanks. Amen and amen.